Moviegoers have learned much about Robert De Niro, the actor, but his latest film, The Good Shepherd, is a chance to think about Robert De Niro, the director. The story focuses on the deceptively stiff government employees who work in a shadowy world. Even the sign on the office door, "Not an exit," is an innocuous way of saying "keep out." In this film, nothing is as it seems.
So the weatherman says Sunday is a perfect day for a trip to the beach.
I hope you can still dance, Edward.
A couple of days, we'll be doing the cha-cha in El Comandante's bedroom.
I'll try to remember to bring my dancing shoes, Richard.
The year is 1961, and of course these two men are not talking about the cha-cha. They're CIA, and they're talking in code about the U.S. government's attempt to overthrow Fidel Castro with the Bay of Pigs invasion. That last voice you heard was Matt Damon playing the cold-as-ice agent Edward Wilson, one of the men who helped create the Central Intelligence Agency. Part thriller and part family saga, the film looks at the toll that a life of secrecy takes on Wilson and his wife, played by Angelina Jolie. Director De Niro also takes a turn in front of the camera. He plays a U.S. Army general charged with creating the spy agency, and he has his reservations.
I see this as America's eyes and ears. I don't want it to become its heart and soul. So I told the president, for this to work, there's going to have to be some kind of civilian oversight.
Oversight? How can you have a covert organization if you have people looking over your shoulder?
You know who gave Hitler his power? The clerks and the bookkeepers. The civil servants. I have this one weakness. I believe in a just God. I always seem to err on the side of democracy.
Robert De Niro joined me in the studio the other day to talk about directing The Good Shepherd. It's been 13 years since he last directed. I asked why he decided to delve into the world of spies.
Well, I'm always fascinated with the Cold War, East versus West, KGB, CIA. It's all great stuff, you know, and scary. So this script I loved. I said, well, let me try and do this.
What was it that you loved so much about the script? Was it the intrigue or was it that character?
The character, the intrigue, the whole feel, the milieu of the whole thing. It was written, like everybody would say, like a novel. You read the characters and you, if it's written well, you picture them with the help of what you're reading, but you fill in those blanks. That's how that script was. So my job was to fill in the blanks as best as I felt I could as an actual movie.
You enjoy directing?
I enjoy it, yeah. It's a lot of work, but I enjoy it.
It seems like this would be a particular challenge because you have a character in this case. Matt Damon is playing a character who's so constricted. He's almost like a hermit crab.
Yeah.
And it's a film that's so much about secrecy, someone who doesn't reveal himself, whether he is, you know, facing international intrigue or whether his wife is screaming at him, telling him that he's failed the family. It seems like that's quite a challenge to build a character and find a way for the audience to connect with that person, since he doesn't want anyone to connect with him.
Yeah, I mean, I always feel that and I felt with this character in particular, there's a sadness, there's a tragic feel to Matt's character and to the situation. Matt is the opposite of this character, so when he's younger in the story, it takes place from 39 to 61, when he's at Yale and so on, and those qualities come out more. And then as we got further into the story, then he's starting to get more and more closed. I was always keeping my eye on him so that he would not do something that would be out of physical character.
For such a powerful man, he was such a sad sack.
Yeah.
His shoulders seemed to always be kind of sagging in on themselves.
Yeah, yeah. That was the intention. That's the story.
There's a scene I'd like to play for you, if I could. It's Matt Damon and in a very difficult situation with his wife. This is later in life. They are in the bedroom. And maybe you could set this up for us and tell us what it is we're about to hear.
Well, that scene, we actually did that as a reshoot later, or an additional shoot, because we felt that we needed something. It was a scene that was needed for her character, for their relationship. And so basically, when the son says he wants to join the CIA, the father can't tell him. He's not happy about it, but he doesn't know what to do. And the mother is more clear about not wanting it. And then she gets upset with him, and they have a big fight, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I should say any more.
Well, let's listen.
Okay.
He doesn't understand what he's getting into. You can stop him.
I can't tell him what to do.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can, because he's doing it for you. Because he wants you to be proud of him, and he wants to feel closer to you. You could have them reject
Absolutely
him.
Not. I won't do that to him.
Of course you won't. You wouldn't do anything for anybody but yourself.
That is unfair.
It's unfair.
That is unfair.
You abandon people when they need you the most.
I don't abandon people.
You abandon people.
I do not abandon people.
It's true.
I have stood by you.
Stood
for
22
years, I have stood by
you. You don't know what it is to stand by
I have stood by you, and I've stood by him.
Him.
I have done everything to be a good father to him.
You have done no such thing.
I married you because of him!
You saw a rare flash of emotion from Matt Damon in that scene.
Yeah. There's a second part to that scene. I don't know. It's funny that, which is...
Well, you don't want to give it away.
Well, yeah, okay, so you're right. You're right.
Now, I mean no disrespect to the actors in asking this question, but you, as an actor, are known as someone who goes through tremendous and sometimes extreme physical transformation in the course of a film. It was interesting watching this to me because Matt Damon aged through the course of the film. Mm-hmm. Physically, he didn't age. As an older man, he looked a little bit more slumped in, but he didn't stooped, perhaps. But neither he nor Angelina Jolie really seemed to age in the way that you would expect people to age as they're marching into their 40s and beyond.
That is true. It's also, it's like from 39 to 61 is 22 years. That's a kind of a subtler time. There is a change, obviously, and I was more worried about, I didn't want it to look fake or hokey, the aging. So I did my best with that, and I felt that once you're in the story, you're not going to really care about those things so much. If the story's not holding up, then you have a real problem. But I would hope that the story would hold up, the emotional involvement with the characters. So, and I felt that Angelina had something that was very special. If I had my druthers, I would have wanted her to gain weight, be frumpy the way she was described in the script, approaching middle age. Of course, we couldn't do that because of the schedule. When I did Raging Bull, it was different because we set it up that we took a 3 or 4 month hiatus. We couldn't do this with this movie. It was just too complicated.
So she had to remain somewhat svelte because she had something else to do?
No, it wasn't that. It was just so difficult to get the movie done as it was, to stop, put her in, bring her later, and to have her gain the weight, I think, was also harder for her. And she tried. And we padded her here and there. But basically, I felt it was whatever she drew on from herself and with the help of makeup that made her, that I was very happy, more than happy. I was pleasantly surprised how effective it was for me that she became what she wound up being at the end of the story.
We're so glad you came in to talk to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Robert De Niro, his latest film is The Good Shepherd. And you can watch a scene from The Good Shepherd at our website, npr.org.